this passages, if we see, there are two groups of people which is spoken of, and their respective states they are in. One group is in torment forever and ever, and the other group is have overcome, and they are victorious, and they are having the harp of God in their hands. So, and both the groups, for the state, they assign a person as a reason. The first group, the group which is under torment and where the smoke is coming above, they ascribe the beast as the reason. And the other group, which is having the harp to celebrate and worship and sing, ascribe the Lamb of God as the reason. So it is the Satan and the and Christ, Jesus Christ, and their respective kingdoms. And now, this is speaking of the people who come as an outcome from the tribulation, but all dispensation ends with the similar groups, one following the beast and the other following Christ. Now, there was a survey which was done to find the welfare index of people. It was done in Australia for a period of about 15 years. And it was done twice a year, every 6 months. So 30 surveys was done. And they found out, they have covered around 60,000 people. And they found out everybody is in pursuit of happiness. And the major contributor of this happiness is three things they identify, the top three. The first one is being part of a relationship, being part of an intimate relationship. Second one is having a purpose, that is being happy when they are active. When people are active, they are happy, which means they need a goal to be active. And third one is the happier are the ones who have the financial security. So if you look at it, it is three things. One is the relationship, and the second thing is the meaning, purpose of life, and third thing is the security. Is this what God gives us to us in the person of Christ? But we see here, and it is almost through all the dispensations, through two groups emerging out. And if you look at the characteristics of these groups, everybody is in pursuit of happiness, but some get into this and some get into others. So when we look into the characteristics of this group, first when we look into the characteristics of the Satan, the governing principles of this group is like force. Because in that Revelation 14, if we see, everyone was forced to get the mark of the beast. Otherwise, they don't get anything. They can't buy, they can't sell, they can't eat anything. So force is the primary governing principle of this government. There's no relationship there when there is force is there. And second is, they have greed. They're governed by greed. And third is, there is ambition and there is selfishness. And fifth one is pleasure. So they are governed by force, greed, selfishness, ambition, and pleasure. So if you look at this, in Romans chapter 3, their character is very clearly mentioned in detail. Romans chapter 3, verse 13 onwards, or verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. So this is the characteristics of the kingdom of the beast. And if the another description which is given by C.S. Lewis, he describes it very nicely. He says, in this kingdom, the principle is everyone wishes everyone else's discrediting, demotion, and their ruin. Everyone is an expert in the confidential reports of other person. And their pretended allegiance is only a stab on the back. Over all this, their good manners, he says, their expression of respect, their expression of grave respect, and the tributes to their good doings for another person's services forms a thin crust. And this crust now and then ruptures and it bursts and produces volcanoes of hatred. And there is no wonder in Revelation 14 we see the smoke coming up, because the torment is forever and ever and they are not going to come out of that. And this is the governing principle of the beast. But it appears to be powerful in the beginning. Force. Everyone can choose their own choice. And Jesus Christ tells of this kingdom in John chapter 7 verse 7. He says it is evil. Because he says this world they are evil. And because he points out that the world, the system hates them. The world hates him. And in 1 John chapter 2 verse 16, it says the world offers the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, which is not of the Father. And these things is a direct appeal to our nature. It is not restrained. It is a instant satisfaction without restraint. So everybody feels it has power because they can fulfill what they want. But at the end, it is entangled in total weakness and destruction. But now, if we look at the other kingdom, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it is a very sharp contrast. When you look at it, Isaiah 57, it says, he was afflicted and he was oppressed, but he did not open his mouth. Which means, and it says he was dumb. And today, can that be a qualification in this world to be a leader? It is impossible. But that was the characteristic of the kingdom. And second, it says he was blameless and spotless. Even that, though it is good, that does not become a qualification to be a leader now. Because he is blameless and spotless, nobody can accept him as a big leader because he will be an offense to them. They cannot circumvent and fulfill their natural desires. Again, a disqualification. So, and he was, in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, he was a sacrificial lamb for us. Of this characteristics, the heaven declares in Revelation chapter 15, 3, his ways are just and true. And this is the characteristics of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the head of this kingdom. And what has he done? He has offered his blood as a ransom for many. So the people who are in this group are overcome by the blood as a ransom for many. And any relative, we call a person relative only if he is blood related. Otherwise, we don't call them as a relative, however close they are. We say friend or whatever. Even if the relative is far, but through many connections, we say him as a far relative. So or it is a close relative. So relationship comes through the blood. And Jesus Christ has not bought us through silver and gold, but he bought us through his precious blood. And it is, as David says, in sin my mother conceived in my womb, but This relationship which we have in this kingdom is through the perfect and precious blood of Jesus Christ. And He has got us. And that is the basis for everything who have accepted and who are a part of this kingdom. The basis for the election in this kingdom and the functioning in this kingdom is the redemption. That is through the blood of Christ. And He says, now there's a race set for us to run. In Hebrews 12, we are to run the race looking at the Jesus Christ, our author and finisher. Here is the practical difficulty which comes in running the race. Now when we look at in the people of God in the Old Testament, they were in Egypt. The God meets them through the blood of the lamb, Paschal lamb. They are delivered from the death, darkness and bondage of Egypt. And the basis was the blood of the lamb which was applied on the doors and windows. That was the basis for the redemption. And that was the basis for the redemption when He carried them through the desert, wilderness, where the paths are not known. Nobody knows the paths. And so when we don't know the paths, when we don't know the route from here to another place, we become so crazy with the Google Maps. But they don't know the paths in the wilderness, and He took them through it. And that is because of the redemption. On the basis they were redeemed by God. And then they were able to walk over the walls of Jericho, and they were able to put their foot on the necks of the kings of Canaan, all on the basis of the redemption. And they were planted in the land of Canaan. But if we look at it, not all who left completed the entire journey or the entire race. So only two of them completed it. But all were bought out, redeemed. What was the thing? But because there was a diversion, they left the basis and they looked at something else. They left the basis and they looked at the offerings of the other kingdom, looked to satisfy their pleasure, their ambition. So the basis shifted, though that would have been met if they had looked at through the true source, but the shift changed. And then they were not able to enter, only two entered. See, I was reading yesterday in the newspaper, one secular writer is saying this: when there is a shift from life to mechanical, what happens? He's talking about a group, as a group or a nation or a state. He's saying, see, group is nothing but a people organize them as a power. And this organization of power incessantly keeps up the insistence of making the people strong and efficient. And there is strenuous effort which goes on to be strong and efficient. And in the process, they become weak. Because of this effort, their energy is drained and they shift from being self-sacrificing and creative to maintain the organization. Thus, they move from being lively and with life to operate like a machine and become mechanical. Yet, in all this, they are completely satisfied because they get a moral exaltation. But the result of that is they supremely become dangerous to humanity. See, if you apply that, is it not true with the Israelites itself? Only 12 people went for spying and the entire generation finished in the wilderness. And if you look further down, in Christ's time, the people, those who are to welcome the Messiah, were the ones who rejected Him. And not only rejected, they excluded the ones who needed the provision of Messiah the most from their system of religion. And when you come further, is it not all the epistle were written to address the diversion, the shift that takes place in their in the body? And when we move further in the middle and dark ages, like the truth was hidden and salvation was proclaimed to those who have wealth and who can perform. So this happens when there is a diversion, and the history shows it as a proof in all from the beginning till now. So functioning on the basis of redemption. So in John 15 verse 4 and 5, he says, I am the true vine. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear the fruits which you are intended to bear. If not, we are not going to do that. But that doesn't mean that we will lose our salvation, because of the nature and character of our Lord, we will still have a salvation, but we will be producing fruits that are not peaceable, and that will be like damaged ones. And we are placed in place where we have to be a light to others. Instead of being a light, we may be a darkness to them and lead them astray. So remaining on the basis is very critical. And how it is possible? It is possible only by basis of blood, that is on the basis of the cross, and by the renewal of the word on every day in our minds. And in doing so, we maintain a very intimate fellowship with Christ our Lord, and who has bought it to us through his precious blood, and which everyone in this world is looking for is for an intimate fellowship, and we get it through him. And what is the purpose? His word gives us the purpose for our lives by knowing him and glorifying him by following his word. The purpose is fulfilled, and the security is he has finished it, and he has put his spirit in us as a seal and security for us. And when we reflect this life, what an opportunity for others and also for us, how fulfilling it will be in this world. And then after this, to celebrate with the Lord. So this is one Buddhist monk who said, the world is very large in comparison to the tiny heart, but the largeness of the world cannot fulfill the desires of this tiny heart. The soul finds rest only if it finds God. And he goes on to say that salvation is not found in formulas or in visiting places, but in the person of Jesus Christ. And we have this. And when we live in this world like this, we glorify our God, and we can bring many to this life where the world is in search of that. And the primary mission of Jesus Christ, the consequence of his primary mission is to bring people near and further near to the love of God, and to heal the corruptness of their heart, and to restore one to another. And that is also is our mission, as we bring people towards the love of God. And we have to pray and trust in God, and reckon on the cross, and receive the word, and renew our mind daily, and lead a life which is pleasing to God through the Holy Spirit. Thank you.